All right, I want to read starting at verse 33 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. Now, this that I'm going to do today, I want you to really hold on. Put your seatbelts on, get yourself so you won't be distracted, because where I'm going, you need to pick up on every word, everything that I'm going. Verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by his fruit. It's very essential now. That means that things that are going on the outside of our lives are really the result of what's going on the inside of our lives, our hearts. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We said if somebody believes something and speaks it out of their mouths, what they believe, it will control their lives. We said death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. Look at verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. We said that God has made it so that nobody can control your destiny but you. Amen. No one. We're talking to the believers now. We're talking to covenant people. We're talking about people of God. We're not talking about people who don't know God, because maybe I'll cover some of that today, because they can use this principle up to a point, because it works for whosoever. But it cannot work on the highest order of manifestation that we can get as believers, and we'll discover why. So we're finding out now that my future is not in your hands. My future is in my heart. And your future is not in anybody else's hands. Your future is in your heart. And what we found out is Joshua and Caleb came and they actually said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome this land, talking about the promised land. But the 10 spies came against them and said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. Now understand, what Joshua and Caleb confessed was consistent with the word of God. They confess what God said about them and their situation. So that's what confession is. We're not talking about confession of evil or confession of sin or something like that. We're talking about confession of the word of God. Say the same thing that God says about you, despite what the situation looks like. And so now, here, Joshua and Caleb confessed it. The other 10 and the whole tribes of Israel didn't confess it, meaning that they said what they felt and saw and what they knew in their logical mind could probably happen, and they got exactly what they said. But look at Joshua and Caleb. My point is that they went over into the promised land. Now, with 10 spies and 3 million people against them, they still went over. So I'm just saying your future is not in other folks' hands. Your future is in your heart, and you can speak it out. Say amen to that. Amen. All right, let's look at the next part of that. Verse 36, but I say unto you, that every idle word which men shall speak thereof, they shall give account thereof. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be what? Justified, that means acquitted and made free. And by thy words thou shalt be what? Condemned, that means sentenced or put in bondage. All right. Now, we're talking on the subject of the law of confession. And what we said a law is a principle that has predictable consequences or outcome. In other words, if I do this, this is what's going to happen. Every time. We are saying confession is a law. Every time, not one time. Every time. Now, you got to get that in your thinking now, because we have not had that image of confession in our system. And as we've been teaching this, I'm sure now you've been starting to watch your words. And you can hear some of the words other people say, and you say, wow, was I saying that? Yes, you were saying that. Now we're bringing you out. Okay, so confession, what's that? So a law and confession. We said a law also is that which is put in place to govern the activity or the affairs of another or of a situation. In other words, the laws regarding driving. They give you a driver's license because they taught you the laws. Now, the law says you drive in America on the right side of the road. So if I see somebody on a two-lane highway and they're on the wrong side of the road, they are breaking the law. Got it? But the law was put in place to keep everybody on the right side. So I'm saying the law of confession, you can speak it, it is a law, and it will put everything in place. Everything will line up with that word. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, all right. Okay, let's go to Numbers chapter 23, please. Numbers 23. Numbers 23. All right, now, again, like I said, I'm really trying to wrap this up. I was trying to make this the last message, and I'll see as we go through it. Now, and I'm not promising you I'll come back with it next week, because I need to go into another series that I have prepared. But I just want to make sure I'm getting all the juice out of this one right here. Because have you been blessed by this particular series? Okay, I think it's a great, great teaching. I really do. Look at Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. All right, let's stop right there. What do you mean, not a man? God is a spirit. Okay, God is a spirit. Now, you and I, when Adam was first created, he was created a spirit. Then God molded a body for him, put him in a body. And then God breathed into his nostrils, and Adam became a living soul. That mind, will, emotions, intellect, and imagination all went inside of Adam. Now Adam can function just like his father. He can have a free will. Father has a free will. Adam could create things. Father can create things. He made him just like him, because Adam has an imagination. So he made him just like him. All right? Now, Adam was then to rule this earth, and Adam was to have dominion over it. So if God were to get back into this earth, he would have to get Adam's permission to go in here and move in here. That's what he did with Abraham. He asked Abraham, well, I'm going to put it in my own words, Abraham, I want to cut a deal with you. If you let me use you to get back into this earth, I'll be your God. Okay? Abraham took the deal. Now, my point is that I showed you, demonstrated to you, where this earth was given over to mankind. So now mankind has the earth. And you know that because over in Matthew, I think, chapter 4, Jesus was tempted after 40 days of fasting. Y'all remember that? The devil came to him, tempted him with three temptations. Well, one of the temptations, the devil said this. He said, he took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth in a moment of time. And he said, all this will I give you if you'll bow down and worship me, for it has been delivered to me. You see, when Adam sinned, he delivered it over to Satan. Now, if it didn't belong to Adam, how could he deliver it? You got what I'm saying? Now, I'm only letting you know this because one man said he came in and preached that I heard him preach somewhere else. He said that the only reason Satan could get in the garden and do what he did is because Adam never took ownership. Yeah. And I'm just saying, thank God we're saying, well, somebody said, oh, you got a new car. Oh, this is a Lord's car. Well, the Lord gave it to you. Now you don't have it. He don't have it. No wonder the devil's trying to tear the thing up. Somebody got to take possession. Are you following what I'm saying? See, he's given this earth over to us, and he's expecting us to do something about it. Now, he is the one that comes and works with us to make what he had planned for the earth to come to pass all the time. Yoo-hoo. You follow what I'm saying? All right, now, watch this, because we're going to go somewhere with this. He says, he's not a man. Remember the time Jesus came, the madman of Gadara, came and approached Jesus, and Satan possessed this madman and spoke out of this madman and told Jesus, I know who you are. I adjure you that you torment me not. I know you're the Son of God. Now, notice what he's saying. Excuse me. Basically, he was saying, you're God. You can't touch me. See, and he knew, Satan knew, that God could not touch him in this earth without going through a man. He knew that. But Jesus was a man, and he was God. You got what I'm saying? Now, the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus took his Godhead ability and set it aside and became as a man anointed by God. Why? What was he going to represent? The second or last Adam. He was going to show you exactly what potential Adam had. Now, your potential, my potential, Adam's potential was not just in Adam. it was also in God. Because Adam and God were not two, come on, they were one. And that's what the covenant does, by the way. The covenant wraps two people together. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Now, so let's look at this. And let's look the rest of this verse. He said, neither is the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Now, whatever God spoke, God is going to make good. Yoo-hoo. Whatever God spoke, he's going to make it good. Y'all got that? All right, let's go over to Isaiah, please, in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord. Look what it says in verse 11, 10 and 11, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, he's saying here that as the rain cometh down from heaven and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth so it may bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper. That it shall, let me read exactly what it says. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in wherein is the thing I sent it. Underline, it shall accomplish. Now you see what I'm saying here? I'm saying it didn't say you accomplish. It says the word shall accomplish. How you follow what I'm saying? Now this is key, because this is kind of where we left off last time. Because we want to separate our part from his part. Because everybody got a part to play here. But his word shall accomplish it. When you study the birth of Jesus, it'll lead you back to Micah chapter 5, where it was prophesied by the prophet Micah that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, that's kind of like saying be born in Selma, Alabama. Well, there could be a Selma, Nova Scotia. Or there could be a Selma in one of the whatever countries. But my point was, he was distinguishing in the earth where the Messiah was going to be born. Now, that was hundreds of years before he was born. But the word is at work. Now, here comes a time of Jesus' birth when Mary was full with child. And all of a sudden, there came a command, or whatever it is, from Herod that everybody must pay taxes and you must go back to your own hometown to do it. Coincidence? No. Then God, Joseph packed up, got married, came all the way back to Bethlehem, and there was no room for them in the inn because everybody was back there trying to pay the taxes. Place was crowded. So he had the child, baby was born, where? In a manger. In Bethlehem. Just like it had been prophesied hundreds of years before. Why? Because the man might have been off to sea, but if he believed it and spoke it, the word was going to take over. Amen. Folks, some of y'all here right now, because of what your grandmama believed and spoke. The word works beyond the grave. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right, let's keep going now, because it shall accomplish. See, this is a new mindset. See, I'm not talking about me accomplishing. I'm talking about me believing it and speaking it. And then the word goes to work. Come on now. You see, I don't know how it's going to be accomplished. Only thing I know is I'm believing it and speaking it. Now, if God wants to use me as part of that accomplishment, then that's fine. But he'll use me or whatever he's got to use to make it come to pass, because it's a law. There is a predictable outcome. You will have what you say. Come on over. Let's go over to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Now, I'm taking time and really getting this into you, because Satan has tried to keep you without confidence in God's word. Because that confidence is what you need for the word to keep working. Confidence ain't nothing but faith. You remember Jairus came to Jesus, and he came to Jesus and said, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death," or something like that. And Jesus said, "Well, no, I just want to make sure I'm not mixing up the centurion. My daughter lieth come to death. If you come and lay hands on her, she shall be healed and she shall live." That's what Jairus said. Jesus started walking with him. Here come this Baptist woman. I just kidding. Here come this woman, and she had been saying something. "If I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole." I'm talking about a law of confession, a predictable outcome. And then she went out of the house when it was not scripturally legal for her with an issue of blood to be out in public. But now she's walking by what? Faith, and not by sight, not by experience, not by the senses. She's got a higher law working. So she goes out there and presses her way through the crowd and touches his garment. Boom, virtue flowed out of here. Boom, she knew in her body she'd been made healed, and sat out and told him all the truth. He said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Then the runners came from Jairus' house and said, "Trouble not the master anymore. Your daughter's dead." And what did Jesus tell Jairus? Shh. Don't say anything. Just hang with your last confession, because what you spoke, the word is still working. You got what I'm saying? The enemy will try to paint a picture that this thing is not working in your life. So why don't you just relax and let go and forget it all and so forth. No, you got to say it and say it. Come on, and say it. See, you got to hold fast the confession of your faith. And even when you don't feel strength enough to say it, just don't say nothing. Because what you last said is still working. All right, y'all here. Okay, what did I tell you to turn now? Romans chapter 1. All right, look at Romans chapter 1. Amen. Verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the what? Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the who first, the Greek first, Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now, just look at this verse. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it what? The word, the gospel, the word of God, is the what? Power of God. Keep going. unto what? Salvation. What is salvation, somebody? Healing, deliverance, whatever you need. Unto everyone that will what? Believe. So God cannot work in your life except to the degree that you believe. So if you don't believe, then it may not be possible for you. But if I believe, it'll be possible for me. Now don't get on me, because I believe. What you need to do is you need to believe. Because God is no respecter of person. This is a law. It'll work for anybody that'll put it to work. So if you want an airplane, believe. I said a new car, believe. A new home, believe. Your husband saved, believe. Well, yeah, believe. Believe in what? The word. See, now watch this. Two kinds of believing. Secular, biblical. Secular belief is belief based on experiences. It's based on something that you can logically come to with your own natural abilities or thinking. For example, I see this chair. The chair looks strong. I sit in it. Now, suppose I saw that chair and that chair looked rickety and the thing kind of hanging off and so forth. Would I want to sit in? Now, I don't believe that can hold me up. So I'm looking at it with my senses and making that assessment. You got what I'm saying? That is secular belief. I'm believing it because I've experienced that before. That's why the people believe the newspaper. Newspapers say we're going to have a sale at one of the big department stores tomorrow night at midnight. They're going to have washing machines for $50. Whoa! Hey! That's hard to believe, ain't it? Praise the Lord. But anyway, washing machine for $50. Okay, what happens? I don't call the newspaper and say, are you sure you printed that right? I don't call Sears and say, hey, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to line up right there at 9 o'clock waiting for the doors to open at 12 midnight. No, wait a minute, because I believed it. See? Now, here's something in the paper. By his stripes, you are healed. Got it? Now, wait a minute. That believing is beyond your experiences. That believing is Bible believing. And Bible believing is believing the Word of God independent of sense evidence or human reason. Most of the gospel is not reasonable. Most of the gospel is not reasonable. Don't ever forget that. Why? God put it out there on purpose so that your mind don't have that no play. You know, your mind cannot capture it. See, if your mind captures it first, it won't get in your spirit. So you got to put it out there beyond what your mind can appreciate. Are you with me? Now, it is the power of God. What's the power of God? The Word of God. The Word is the power. The Word is the power. The Word is the power. See, you need authority because authority is what your body gives you here to believe it and speak it. But you need the power to bring it to pass. So you and God are working together. And that's what the world doesn't have. They're trying to believe and speak something and use soul power. And you can get some soul power operating. You've seen people walk on hot bed of coals or something like that. That's all soul power. Because you got a little power in the soul. But you ain't got enough to move a mountain. Hey! All right, let's go to Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1. All right, this is what we covered last time, but I want to cover it again. In Luke chapter 1, this is when Mary was approached by that angel. Let's start up here in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month of the month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, a spouse to be to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was who?
Mary.
And the angel came and said to her, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with who?
God.
And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name who?
Jesus.
Say his name louder.
Jesus.
He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, that wasn't a question of doubt. She was asking for further clarity as to how this thing was going to come about. Watch the angel answer this. And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be the Son of God. All right, she said, How is this going to be, since I don't know a man? Now, for that time in history, that was a good question. Because you need a man with a woman to have a baby. Now, today you got test tubes and sperm banks and all kinds of things, but you didn't have that then. You needed a man. There's a man got to be up in here somewhere. Now, do y'all follow what I'm saying? Need a man. Now, didn't have a man. She was a virgin. Now, how is this going to happen to me and I don't know a man? Then the Holy Ghost began to tell her, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. And that holy thing shall be born of you, shall be the Son of God. Now, I know Mary had read Isaiah chapter 7, where it says, a virgin shall conceive. I know. She was a woman of the Word. All you had to do is study her life. She was a woman of the Word. Look at verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. For with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. But with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. I want to put that in your spirit now. Are you with God?
Yes.
No, you didn't say that loud enough. Are you with God?
Yes.
Verse 38. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Notice how she answered. What? Be it unto me according to thy word. Then the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste in the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she began to speak out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now she's talking to Mary now. You're talking to a woman who don't have a man. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb with joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Now this is Mary talking this. For he that is mighty has done what? To me, come on, great things, and what? Holy is it now. Folks, y'all got to see this. So what happened? Mary said, Be it unto me. Then she left the house, went over to her cousin's house, and the baby leaped in her cousin. Cousin started prophesying over her. And Mary just joined in with her. So they're going to speak of me all over the world.
Yeah.
Now understand, she didn't feel anything. Come on, you got to stay with me. She didn't see anything. She just believed. She received it. And then she began to speak it. Now, in this environment, the more you speak it, the more you believe it. And the more you believe it, the more you go speak it. Are you with me? So now, you got to see this now, because I'm telling you something that's very valuable, and I'm going to get there, but you got to give me time. Okay, don't come in here rushing me. Now, believe with the heart. Believe with your spirit is believing something independent of sense evidence. If you are in the senses, Satan will defeat you every time. He cannot defeat faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, come on, not seen. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. You can't taste it, but you know you got it. Now, think about every promise in the Word of God, that all these promises for you. And what you have to do is you have to see that. Now, somebody asked me one time, said, well, what happened if you can't speak? If something's wrong and you can't speak? I believe that's where God will give you grace. That if you make signs, if you do things, that God will add that as your speech. Come on now, come on now. See, that's the goodness of the Lord. All right, now listen at this. So here's Mary. She said, be it unto me. Now, she don't know how this is going to happen. He told her that the Holy Ghost will come on. But really, she doesn't know in her mind how this is going to happen. But she had to hold on to that. She had to hold on to that. And the Spirit of God began to increase her. Now, turn to John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. Stay with me now. Stay with me. See, if you start rushing me, you cut off the anointing that way. I got something for you. I said, I got something for you. I got to cover what the Lord told me to cover. See? Look at John chapter 1. Let me know if you get there. In the beginning was the what? Word. The Word was with who? God. And the Word was who? God. So if I've got the Word, I got who? God. If I got God, I got to who? Word. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Him who? God. God who? The Word. So if I got God, I've got the Word. And whatever God can do, glory to God, his Word can do. Come on down to verse 14. And the Word was made what? Flesh, and did what? Dwelt among us. All right, now, in this, oh, Jesus. Don't be throwing me off now. I got to get this thing over to you. The Word was made flesh. Made flesh. The Word took flesh. See, the Word takes stuff. It takes your healing. See, the Word is alive. Jesus. All right, let's pass through that for just a moment. Now, confession. What's behind it is the power of God. And what we just showed you is that there are things when you speak God's word that go into motion that you can't see. Now, one of them, turn to Hebrews chapter 3, please. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm on track. I'm on track. Hebrews chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. Glory to God. Have you got it? Verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, that's you, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, let's break that down. Holy brethren, that's us, consider, to think about, ponder on the apostle and high priest of your profession. Now, profession here is the same word confession. But confession is my profession. Well, no, Pastor, you're a preacher. No, that's what I do. But my profession is confession. Now, I want you to see that for any of the brethren. See, and he says, consider the apostle. The apostle simply means sent one. See, Jesus was sent here into this earth. And then after he rose from the dead, he was sent into heaven. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's working on behalf of us, and God calls him a high priest. Well, what did the high priest do in the Old Testament? The high priest actually went into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, and did sacrifice on behalf of all the children of Israel. So he was doing something before God for everybody. So he's the high priest of your profession. Now, let's break it down now, because I'm going to show you what's behind your words, because your words are not just sound. Something happens when you speak. And so what happened now is, let's go to Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Let me know when you get there. Let me know. Are you there? Come on. You ought not take time. Okay. And that great dragon, verse 9. And that great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth how much of the world? The whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God how long? Who is that accuser? The devil. Who is he accusing? Us. He's the holy brother. So he's accusing you before God how long? Day and night. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb and by the what? Word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives until the death. Now, it made it sound like they all died. No. They loved not their lives even in the face of death. Amen. You remember the three Hebrews? Yes. They were faced with death. But they said, the God that we serve, he shall deliver us. Amen. Did he deliver them? Yes. Right. See, that's what it's talking about. Now, I want you to see this, because he's saying that Satan is your adversary. And now he accuses you before God. Well, let's find out where God is. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's just find. Now, I got to take my time. I got a few minutes on the clock. Don't get, anxious. Just listen at me, because I'm going to get you set free today. All right, look at Hebrews. And Hebrews chapter 12, have you got it? Verse 22. But you are come into Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, he's talking about where God is now. And to an innumerable company of angels. Innumerable means you can't number them. That's how many are there. And to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. That's Jesus they're talking about now. Which are written in heaven. And to God the who? Judge of how much? All. So now, God is the judge of all. Say judge.
Judge.
Turn to 1 John chapter 1, please. That's a little further to your right. 1 John chapter 1. Okay? Let me know when you get there. I said chapter 1. Make it chapter 2, please. Now, stay with me, please. Look at verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man, what? Sin, we have a who? Advocate with the Father, who? Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, Jesus is the advocate. He is the lawyer for the defense. Satan is the adversary or the prosecuting attorney. He comes to accuse you before the judge.
Amen. Amen.
Day and night. So you got both of them. You got the lawyer who's for you. His name is Jesus. And to my understanding, he never lost a case.
All right.
But then you've got the adversary or the prosecuting attorney. He's looking to give you some time. Because you done sinned. Now, you, what happens is the accuser makes his case. But then the judge says, can we hear from the defense? Jesus stands up. Now, I want you to see this, because this is when what's going on. He makes a case, and the judge asks him, do you have any proof? He said, yes, sir. With the blood, take the stand, please. Now, watch this. In the book of Genesis, Cain slew Abel. And God said, Cain, where is thy brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? He said, Cain, your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. What do you think the blood is crying for? Justice. God is a God of justice. Some people say, well, you know, that ain't fair. God ain't fair. He's just. You with me? So now what happens is here is Cain, here is Jesus. The blood took the stand. Now in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to go all of these places because I got to get somewhere else before I leave out of here. That the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of Abel. So the blood of Jesus comes to testify about your innocence because the blood paid the price. Are you here? But that's not gonna settle it with the judge because he wrote in the book, you need two or three witnesses. Say amen to that. So now, Jesus Christ is the high apostle and high priest of your profession or confession. So he needs one more witness. And he's got to get it from you. So what you have to do is you have to say what God says in his word rather than what you feel, what your neighbor said. You give him one more witness, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Justified means acquitted or let go, and a condemned means put in bondage or sentenced. You see, Jesus paid the price for us. No matter what you've done, if you confess it, he's faithful to forgive it and to cleanse you. But the matter must go before the judge. And the judge got one witness, the blood is saying, not guilty. I paid the price for it. But that witness alone won't do. Jesus can't witness because he's your attorney. He needs your witness. So whatever the situation is, find a promise in the word of God and let it go. For the blood, but thank God for the word. Now, let's go one more place. Say, not guilty. Come on, say, not guilty. Say that. Somebody might say, that ain't fair. Tell them, favor ain't fair. All right. Now, let's go. All right, now, I'm going to hit something now. It's going to go a little deep. Can I take it a little bit deeper? Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Now, we might go a little deeper. I see they done stopped the clock. Okay, this ain't gonna take long though. I'm gonna read starting at verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. He who? Jesus. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came to it, haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. He released these words. And his disciples, what? Heard it. Verse 15, and they came to Jerusalem and went on down there and did some business. Verse 19, and when the evening was come, he went out of the city. Now they went on back up to the Bethany where Jesus and the disciples were staying with Martha and Mary and him. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the what? Roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you curse is what? Withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, there's believe now, that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, What things soever you desire when you pray, what? Believe you receive them, and what? You shall have them. Now, when do you believe you receive? God is eternal. In eternity, there is no time. Adam in the garden, there's no record of his age, because he didn't have one. He was just like God, built to live forever. Once he sinned, age began. And now everybody's birthday is being talked about. How old is he? Well, he's 365 years old. Well, he's so forth and so on. Why? Because one day he's going to die. Because the day he ate of it, he died. Now humanity is subject to death. Now, so Adam operated on another level. And I call it another dimension. The Bible calls it heaven. So Jesus was operating on two levels. The level of the senses and the level of the spirit. Now, he was showing you how you can operate. Because you are not subject to the things that people are subject to who don't have Jesus, who are not born again. Because once you get born again, you get eternal what? Life. See? And so you can operate on that other level. Now, dimension, heaven. Now, where is heaven? Now, I'm talking about this first heaven that he talks about here. Glory to God. Let me take you to it. Can I take you to it? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Woo! Got to get out of here. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. Look at verse 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places where? In Christ. Now he is saying he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He didn't say he's going to bless you. What did he say? What does confession mean? Confession means to agree with who? God. So if I say I'm going to be healed, am I agreeing with all spiritual blessings that I have already been blessed with? Oh, come on now. I want you to see this. I'm saying when God says you have to call things that be not as though they were, when he told Abram that, don't call yourself anymore Abram, call yourself Abraham. Watch this, for a father of many nations, watch this, have I made thee. Not gonna make. Now, for Abram to get that, he was gonna have to call himself Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. Not gonna be. I am. When I can't see any evidence of it. Why? Because whatever's gonna be done for me is already done for me in heaven. Now watch this. Heaven is not way off. Heaven, wait a minute. Point to heaven. Come on, point to it right now. Point to it. Go on, right where you are, point to it. Lift your hand up, point to it. All right? See, heaven If you're pointing up, well, suppose I take you to the other side of the earth. Where are you going to point then? See? See, somewhere you point down. So we're not talking about that. Heaven is dimensional. You just step, when the Bible says to be absent from the body, come on, and to be present with the Lord. When you leave that body, you just step right over into the presence of God. You are not in that way, oh Lord Jesus, because in the spirit there's no space. In the spirit there's no time. Are y'all follow me now? I'm trying to get you to wrap your... He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places. So everything that you'll ever want is already yours. Everything that you'll ever need in this earth is already there. Where is it? It's in another dimension. But what you have to do with faith is you have to access it. And you have to pull it out of that dimension into this dimension. And in faith, there is no time. I cannot speak what's gonna happen because it already has happened. And if I wanna confess it, I've gotta confess it in the now. I can't confess it in the future because in God there is no future. Now, I'm telling you why some of you have not gotten into your wealthy place and not gotten this or gotten that, because you have been programmed, like all of us, by the world system. And the world system programmed you to see things based, say things based on what you see. But in the kingdom, in eternity, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that we see are temporal, three-dimensional, and subject to change. But the things that are not seen are eternal. Now, Lord Jesus. Amen. So Jesus is healing everybody. He's healing everybody. Why? Well, you might go to Matthew chapter 8, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. But wait a minute. Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. Now, how could he be authorized to heal everybody? See, he's healing everybody based on the fact that he's paid the price for everybody. All right, you ready? Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 19, please. I asked you to hold on. Didn't I ask you to hold on? Amen. Hello. I said 19. Make it verse chapter 20, please. 2 Kings chapter 20. Now, this is when God told a man named Hezekiah, through a prophet, Isaiah, he told him, say, hey, get your house in order, you're going to die. Well, Hezekiah went to crying, and oh, Lord, didn't I do this for you? Didn't I do that for you? Supplicating. And the Bible says that God then spoke to Isaiah, told him to turn around, go back and tell the king, Hezekiah, that you got 15 more years. So he went back and told him, you got 15 more years there, king. He said, God has heard you. And then the king wanted him to prove it. Verse 8, and Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? How many of you ever heard of a sundial? Okay, the sun strikes the dial, and as the sun goes down, the pointer shadow moves throughout the digits on the clock. So the sun, as long as the sun's out, the sundial can reflect what time it is based on the sun. He just told him something. He said, okay, tell you what. Which way you want the sun to go? Back or forward? Now, we're not talking about forward in natural progression, because our minds have been programmed to natural progression. Here, the doctor said, you got a fracture. Okay, it's going to take 8 months to get healed. Boom! Believe that? I mean, eight weeks to get healed. Boom! I believe that, and I'm waiting 8 months. And guess what? God can't work through you except to the degree that you believe. I'm going to wait 8 months. But I had a lady in Virginia. She came up with a fracture. She had fractured it 3 days before. And I said, all right. I said, let me show you how the kingdom of God works, because in the kingdom there ain't no time. And I'm a representative of the kingdom. I laid my hand on her arm, and I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. That's like that, and let it go. She started moving her arms, started moving everything she saw, and started crying. It was totally healed. How many seconds? 3 seconds.
All right.
Not 3 months. Not 3 weeks. Come on, 3 seconds. Why? I overrode time. Because you have been designed to override time. Time is not your master. You are time's master. Now, some of y'all are looking at me. I asked you to hold on. Didn't I ask you to hold on? I'm talking about confession. Some people are not getting what they confess because they're putting it in the future. There ain't no faith. Faith is always now. If you ever put it in the future, you are not in faith. And when you don't have faith, faith reaches up into the eternal, access what belongs to you, what you're believing for, and yanks it down into the now. And you can't get faith to work talking about, I'm going to get healed. You got to say, by his stripes. Now, this is a revelation. He says something. He says, hey, which way you wanted to go? Which way you wanted to go? Because faith can make time go either way. Faith can go back in your history.
Come on now.
Or faith can go into your future.
Come on.
You don't have to wait on a retirement check. You can go get it now.
All right.
You can get that check and move it into the now. You better hear what I'm saying now. The only thing to stand between you and $1 billion is time. But if you can override time, oh, Lord, you can get into the billion flow. The flow? You see, this is your time. See, Jesus, when you saw this truth, see, Jesus healed them all. What did Jesus do? When was the lamb slain in the mind of God, according to Revelation 13 and 8? The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. Well, how could Jesus heal everybody now and he hadn't died yet? Because he didn't go forward. He went backward in time before the foundation of the world and moved it to the now. I'm telling you, and could heal the people. Are you with me? And that's when he came to the gravesite of Lazarus. And Lazarus, Mary said, you can't do nothing for him now. He's dead. Not only dead, but he's stinking. Jesus said, wait a minute, he'll rise again. She said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection and the last day. Jesus said, wait a minute. I am the last day. I've come from the last and come to the now. Folks, don't think he can't reset things in your body, because how about the man named Naaman? Naaman was a Syrian captain, but one problem, he had leprosy. But he heard from a servant that there's a prophet down there that could get him healed. So he goes down there. He rides up with all his men, and he said, where's the prophet? And he said, go in and get him. And the servant went in there and said, there's a man out there, a leper, need to be healed. He said, go tell him to dip. Go tell him to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. He went out there. Said the boss man said, go dip 7 times. The prophet said, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. What did he do? What? You mean I'm a big shot and he not going to come out and see me? Let me get out of here. Started riding away, and one of his servants that was running beside him said, Master, if he'd have told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? He said, well, I guess I would have. He decides to stop that, go to the River Jordan in front of all his boys, and watch this, one time, two times, three times, come on, four times, you just got to obey, five times, come on, believers, big as six times, come on, seven times, and came up, and his skin was like a newborn baby. If God can take him back, he can take... That's all I got. I got to go give the Lord a praise. I know you messed up, but guess what? You got the power of God now that's working, and he can come into your life and erase all trace that the devil has ever been in your life. Every trace. Faith can take you back. Faith can take you forward. What do I want to show you about that tree? He spoke to that tree. When he spoke, believing spoke, that was his job. He's gone. Now, what's working? The word. That's all. Just believing to speak it to thing and go do something else. Go on, take your wife out to dinner. Because while you're out to dinner, the word working. Go on, get yourself a good night's sleep. Don't stay up all night, word. Come on, sleep now, because the word is working. Come on now. Folks, this is a marvelous truth. It's time, and you understanding it, because we all been trained to wait. Wait on payday. Come on. Watch this. Wait on the storm to pass. Come on. Whatever it is. But God has taken you and brought you back up so that you can tell time what to do. Did y'all get that? Did this make sense to you? Say, I'm healed. Now, I'm delivered. Now, I'm prosperous. Now, I'm wealthy. Now, I have my own business. Now, I have a new home. Now, I got my neighbor saved. Now, give the Lord a praise because it's all going to come in now. Hallelujah. Whoa. Yeah. Religion have problems with this because religion never says the time. It always says somehow, someday, the Lord's gonna help. And he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Now you done got beat down to your last. This is a new day, saints. Take your seats, please. Listen, before anybody leaves, if you're here and your life has not been changed by the power of God, I got some good news for you. Jesus is in the house. I'm telling you, Jesus is in the house. And he has an appointment with you because you have an appointment with destiny. God has planned some things for your life, and the only way you can get into it is come to him, because he's the only one that knows the plan. If you're here today and God has spoken to you about coming to him, I want to pray with you right now. Now listen, Jesus is the one who died for us. He made it so that we could get eternal life and we can live again. I don't know what you know about guilt and shame, but it's heavy. It has a heavy weight to it. But once you come to him and receive him as your Lord and Savior, all of that gets removed. You have a brand new start. So if you're here today and God has spoken to you through this message, I want to pray with you the same prayer they prayed for me some years ago way up on the north side of Chicago and brought me into the kingdom of God. Once they did, miracles happened. My body got healed, totally out of debt. Top of the ladder in sales in IBM. I'm telling you what God did for you, me, he's going to do for you. If you're ready for it, let me pray for you right now. Here's what I want you to do. Don't look around at anybody else because they can't save you. The only one that can save you is God. So if you're here right now and you'd like me to pray the same prayer for you, I want to do it and bring you into the kingdom of God where you can have everything you've ever desired. If you'd like it, get up out of your chair. Come on, take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and join me at the altar right now. Stand before me. God is going to bless you today. This is your day. Come on down. Come on down. God loves you. This is your time. This is your day. Don't miss your hour. Come on. Come on. Just like you are. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on. Don't look at anybody else. They can't help you. Only Jesus can help us. Come on. That's not all. Come on. Get up out of your chair. Come on down. It just takes a moment to be saved. Come on now. Come on down. They're still coming. Keep them encouraged, saints. Keep them encouraged. This is a new day. It's a day of new beginnings. Now, I'd like to call for anybody here who used to be saved, but you done backslid, and you out of the will of God. Now, you're living like you were never saved in your life, but you're miserable. I want you to help me shame the devil. I want you to do something. Get up and come on up here and follow and get in line right here. Come on. Don't look at anybody else. Come on. Just come on. Come on. You slid back on him, but he didn't slide back on you. Oh, he still loved you. Come on down. Come on down. Let God have your life once again. Come on down. Come on down. Oh, they're still coming. Keep them encouraged, saints. This is a step of faith. Now, I've got a last call that I always make, and this call is for people. And for some reason, you just are holding out. Maybe you say, oh, I've got some people going to pick me up, and I need to be somewhere. Or you might say, I don't know this church. I don't know these people. Or you might just say, hey, I don't know. I'm not quite certain. Let me tell you something, my friend. All those suggestions the enemy will put in your mind. The reason why is because he knows if you don't get salvation today and you leave this house and something happens to you and your life is over, he knows that he knows where you're going. There is a hell, and that hell is made for the devil and his angels, but Satan is trying to take as many people with him as he can get. There is no second chance. You can't pray your way out of hell. There is no such thing as purgatory. That is not in the Bible. And there's two places, up or down. God wants you to be saved. Now, I'm going to call you one more time because God told me to do that. I'm going to make one more, I'm going to reach out to you one more time. Whoever it is that didn't come for the first or second call, for any reason at all, take courage right now. Get up out of your chair and come on up and join me. Come on, take courage right now. Satan, I break your power over their lives in the name of Jesus. I loose the anointing of God. Come on down, sister. Come on down. Oh, the blood of Jesus. All right. Let's pray for those who came. Lift your right hand up to heaven for me, please, and repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I come to you now just as I am. You know my life. You know how I've lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for my sins. On the third day, he was raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Live your life in me and through me from now on. From this day forward, I belong to you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Now you can put your hands down. Now listen. Now, I'm going to reach out for one reason, because the Spirit of God is dealing with somebody here that you said that prayer in your chair, but you didn't want to come public. Let me tell you the scripture. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. You can't sneak into heaven. Whoever it was, and you said that prayer, I want you to be honest. Get up out of your chair and come on up here and join me right now. Come on, whoever that was. Whoever that was. Here's what we've got next for you. As one of our ministers, he's got his hand held up high. He's going to take in a room right outside this auditorium. In that room, he's going to give you some instructions, the next instructions that you're to follow. Same instructions the disciples followed, same instructions that Bill Winston followed, and the people of God of the church. Follow those instructions. Now, what's going to happen? When you leave this place today, I guarantee you, your life will never be the same again. This is going to be the turning point in your life. Whatever the enemy has stole from you, God's going to bring it back. Whatever the enemy has put on you, on your body, on your mind, God's going to take it off. And the reason why is because you become one of his children. Everything you've done in your past up to this point, which has been wrong, which has been against God, even things that you haven't told your friends about. Guess what? God, through the blood, is cleansing your record. And he said he will never remember it again. You got a brand new start. Turn to your right. Follow him. If you came with someone, they'll wait on you until you get done. Follow him. God bless you. bless you, God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless 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 you. Good to see you. Good to see you. God bless you. Good to see you. God bless 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 you. Good to see you. Good to see you. God bless you, man. Oh, God bless you, man. All right. Hey, God bless you, man. Oh, God bless you, man. All right. Hey, God bless you, man. Good to see you. Come on, give them a hand. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, sir, it's harvest time. All right. I want to pray a closing prayer, and I'm going to have to get out because I got to get out in Kansas and preach a message. And thank God for airplanes that you can do things like that. Come on now. But how many of you know that God wants to put the message all over the world? And we're going to help him do it. Say amen to that. Touch somebody's hand, touch and agree. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the goodness of God. And as we leave this place, but not your presence, Father, as a priest of this house, I speak two miracles for this week of February the 12th, this week, two miracles in the household of every person that's standing here right now. In the name and every person listening by internet, I speak two miracles. Notable miracles in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Greet three or four people around you. Tell them Jesus loves you, and so do I.